We now come to the fifth session, and our first speaker is His Eminence Metropolitan Panteleimon of Veria, Nausa, and Campania. His Eminence is known to us all for his abundant spiritual work, both in Thessaloniki and especially in Veria, where he has done much to bring particular attention to the person and ministry of the Apostle Paul, and has truly labored for that metropolis. He also has spiritual roots and a spiritual kinship with the Holy Mountain. He was especially close to Father Gerasimos of Little St. Anne's Skeet and his brotherhood. Your Eminence, we invite you to come to the podium and present the subject, The Dangers of Spiritual Delusion in the Spiritual Life According to Elder Joseph de Hesychast. Please turn off your phones and maintain complete silence. Once again, my brother's love moves me to speak, and I, as a servant of the word, bring forward and offer your commands that I may share them with my friends and brethren. Your Eminence, beloved fathers, most distinguished professors, my dear brothers and sisters, I have chosen to begin my address with these words with which the blessed Elder Joseph de Hesychast begins the seventh sounding of his 10-voiced trumpet. That is, his message on spiritual delusion. This is because of the invitation extended to my humble person by Athanasius and by the very Reverend Father Ephraim, Abbot of the Holy Monastery of Vatopedi, but also because of my special bond with them and with the ever-memorable Elder Joseph. I first heard of his spiritual struggles and holiness many years ago, when as a student at the Athonia School, I visited and became spiritually connected with the Athonite Desert and the Holy Skeeta of Little St. Anne, where the blessed Elder Joseph himself lived for a considerable time. I am also here because of the love of all of you who have come to honor the saintly figure of the Elder by taking part in this conference, and at the same time to be edified, not by the words of the speakers, but by the words and experience of the ever-memorable Elder. The words of the blessed Elder who lived in God and in Hezekiah will be heard through the presentations in this hall like the sounds of a God-voiced trumpet. I too am here today. Indeed, I could not have begun today's address in any other way, since its subject is the dangers of spiritual delusion in the spiritual life according to Elder Joseph de Hesychast. On the one hand, the subject places the Elder himself and his words at the center of what I shall say. On the other hand, the danger of delusion also lies in wait for those who believe that their own words can replace the experience and holiness of the fathers who came before us. After all, not even Elder Joseph himself, though filled with the grace and wisdom of God, he did not dare to say anything of his own, but remained firmly founded upon the unshakable rock of patristic tradition and ascetic experience. In this way, the ever-memorable Elder Joseph not only avoided spiritual delusion himself, but also became an unerring guide for his spiritual children and for all of us who humbly study his writings, so that we might avoid the slippery and destructive path of delusion. But what is spiritual delusion? Let us hear, my brothers and sisters, what Elder Joseph says. Spiritual delusion, my dear one, is in itself the essential departure from the straight path and from truth, regarding the truth as non-existent, embracing falsehood, and thinking in accordance with it through every power of the human soul. Constructing a world of its own and drawing its own conclusions, while systematically acting through the will, intention, nous, understanding, desire, imagination, soul, and body. Spiritual delusion, then, is the departure from truth and the adoption of falsehood, which takes possession of all the powers of the human soul and acts through them. Spiritual delusion was the devil's first invention and work. Through it, he led our first created parents away from God and caused them to lose paradise, and through it he continues trying to draw all people, clergy, monks, and laity away from God and from their salvation. According to Elder Joseph, the dangers arising from spiritual delusion are very many. No one, whatever spiritual state he may have reached, can consider himself safe from it. He must always remain watchful so as to avoid the devil's snares that operate through it. The forms of spiritual delusion are countless and are not all of the same degree or measure, the Elder writes. In each case, delusion presents whatever is suited to leading each one of us astray and deceiving us. This view is also confirmed by St. Gregory of Sinai, who writes, "We must speak as far as we are able about spiritual delusion, for it takes many forms, because of its exceedingly cunning and varied snares, and is difficult to discern and almost impossible to comprehend." Spiritual delusion, he says, occurs in two ways. It appears, or rather, it comes upon a person and takes hold of him through imagination and demonic operation. St. Gregory of Sinai writes that we must say a little more about spiritual delusion and its snares, because most people are unable to recognize them, and the Holy Father continues, The causes that lead to spiritual delusion then are pride, the envy of the demons, and the withdrawal of God's grace for the sake of correction and instruction. In someone who is at the first stage of the spiritual life, delusion appears chiefly either by leading him away from the knowledge of God or by causing him to deny God. For this reason, many of our brothers and sisters, unaware of the danger of spiritual delusion and of the devil's wicked schemes, fall either into heresy or atheism. Others become instruments of Satan, who instead of the true knowledge he promises, leads the curious and self-centered into the dark chambers of demon worship and Satanism. These falls occur either because a person is inexperienced in spiritual matters or because of his pride. A person falls into spiritual delusion, writes St. Silouan the Atonite, either through inexperience or through pride. If it is through inexperience, the Lord quickly heals the one who has been deceived. But if it is through pride, the soul will suffer for a long time until it learns humility. Then it will be healed by the Lord. Elder Joseph directs his attention chiefly to the dangers of spiritual delusion faced by those who practice hezekiah, and to the ways in which delusion can be recognized. He writes, "Listen, my child, to how divine grace comes and how it is recognized. We say that once someone has tasted wine, if he is later given vinegar, he recognizes it. Understand the same thing about divine grace. The one who first tastes divine grace afterward recognizes delusion. A demon may imitate grace, but the person who has eaten the fruit of truth, as we have said, recognizes the fruit of delusion. For if the nous turns its attention toward the delusion for even a moment, the human heart is filled with turmoil, the nous is darkened, and even the hairs of the body stand on end. Divine grace, however, is sweet, peaceful, humble, still, cleansing, illuminating, and joy-giving, and there can be no doubt whatsoever that it is divine grace. Elder Joseph emphasizes that those who struggle spiritually must be extremely careful, because many fell in ancient times, and even today people fall every day, to achieve his purpose, that is, to lead a person into spiritual delusion. The devil chooses the spirit best suited to each particular soul and sends it against that soul, carrying all the equipment of delusion. With great patience, it occupies itself with this task, spending many years on it, even the person's entire lifetime, training the nous in various ways to desire the object of its longing until it has thoroughly instructed him and won his trust, and finally, placing a bridle upon him, it drags him wherever the devil who leads him wishes. The devil, the elder says, waits patiently, equipped with every necessary instrument, until he succeeds in leading the spiritual struggler astray and harnessing him like a beast of burden, so that he can drag him wherever he wishes. At other times, he persuades the person to accept falsehood as truth and then to teach others accordingly, claiming that everyone will be condemned to hell because no one possesses true knowledge except himself. In this kind of spiritual delusion, the monk thinks he is being saved while he is actually being slaughtered. He shuts himself away alone and does the will of the demon dwelling within him. If he remains enclosed in seclusion, Elder Joseph writes, the devil will strangle him or hang him, persuading him that he will become a martyr. And if he does not do this, he will cast him into indifference and negligence so that he abandons everything and gives himself over to eating and drinking. He will not even understand that he has fallen and needs to seek healing, but will think that he is walking rightly and that this is the way and the truth. In such a case, the elder continues, the remedy for spiritual delusion is for the person to recognize that he has been deceived and, with tears, to seek an experienced physician who can save him and give him the proper medicines for the protection of his soul. The second danger of spiritual delusion, according to Elder Joseph, is for someone to believe that he has attained grace by his own power. The person who accepts this deluded logismos, this intrusive thought, begins to be tormented by terrible logismoi, while grace gradually withdraws and allows him to fall into temptations so that he may learn humility. Unable to endure these logismoi, he seeks an experienced elder, but he is not healed because God permits this in order to train him in humility. Grace progressively abandons him and his body grows weak. Then one person tells him to consume milk, eggs, cheese, and meat in order to regain his strength. Unable to do otherwise, he obeys and begins eating, drinking, digging, and so forth. The man who was formerly devoted to nepsis, watchfulness, becomes a merchant, a vine grower, or a gardener. He neglects his spiritual duties and finds himself at the threshold of hell because of the sins in which he continually wallows. Worst of all, he tries to persuade others that they too must do the same. For one who has fallen into this delusion, there is only one remedy: humility of heart and waiting for God's mercy. If that mercy does not come, the monk must go, as Elder Joseph writes, and place himself under obedience, humbling himself by walking the common path of the fathers. The third danger of spiritual delusion is one-sided ascesis. Elder Joseph writes, "Listen, my child, about another kind of delusion as well, so that you may guard yourself. Many monks devoted themselves to a single virtue and exerted all their strength to attain it. Some chose fasting, others vigil, others uninterrupted prayer, and still others tears, and they imagined that everything consisted in this one thing alone. They spent years and seasons in this way and, puffed up with pride, count the years during which they did not partake of oil or cooked food, or how long they kept vigil, prayed, or wept while neglecting the acquisition of the other virtues. When the cunning devil sees that a person has strayed into this same one-sided ascesis, he immediately fastens himself to him like a shell and completely persuades his nose to believe that this alone is truly the right way. He continues until habit becomes second nature, and he has utterly deceived the man, finally winning him for himself. In other words, when the devil sees that a person has strayed into a one-sided form of ascesis, he attaches himself to him and strives to convince him that his choice is the correct one, remaining close beside him. As the lives and writings of many fathers teach us, even great ascetics and saints of our holy church have found themselves in such danger because this method is especially favored by the devil, who uses it whenever he cannot deceive a person in any other way. The devil transforms himself, Elder Joseph writes, into an angel of light and tells the ascetic that he is the Archangel Gabriel or another angel, and that God has sent him to remain beside him because he has pleased God in every way. The fathers recount many such incidents. I shall mention only one. Many years ago, a most devout elder lived at Katunakia with his disciple Spiridon. Spiridon was obedient and exact in everything. As time passed, Spiridon, driven by vainglory, Spiridon increased his prostrations, the prayers on his prayer rope, his vigils and his ascesis beyond measure, without the permission and blessing of his spiritual father. Indeed, he considered himself far superior to the other monks, and in this way he came to be possessed by the demon of pride. One night, he heard someone knocking at the door of his cell and saying, "Through the prayers of our holy fathers." He opened the door and saw what appeared to be an angel, who said to him, "I have been sent by God Himself to tell you how pleased He is with your many accomplishments and virtues. Indeed, to reward you, the Lord invites you to come with me to the summit of Mount Athos, where He Himself will come with the hosts of angels and saints, so that you may worship Him." Spiridon, abandoned by divine grace because of his pride and disobedience, decided to follow the apparent angel despite the bad weather and the severity of winter. After a long journey on foot, he reached the summit of Mount Athos. Then the angel, well pleased, said to Spiridon, "Look over there. Do you see? Christ is coming." Spiridon saw a radiant disk, and in its center Christ appeared enthroned as the great high priest, accompanied by the ranks of angels and the choirs of saints and hierarchs. Among them was Saint Spiridon, whom the monk Spiridon noticed in particular. The angel urged him, "What are you waiting for? Go and worship Christ." Spiridon stepped forward, but he was puzzled by Saint Spiridon's cap, which he knew from the holy icons to be small. Now he saw it as enormous, so he made the sign of the cross and said, "Lord, have mercy, never in my life have I seen such a large cap." At that very moment, everything Spiridon had been seeing vanished, and he found himself alone before a sheer precipice. One foot was planted in the snow, while with the other he was about to step into empty space, with tragic consequences. With great difficulty, he managed to descend to his hut, where he found his elder praying. His elder's prayer had saved him from the bodily and spiritual destruction of the delusion into which the demon had led him. This delusion is, as St. Gregory of Sinai writes, the handing over of a person to Satan as a corrective chastisement for sin, often even unto death. And for this reason he warns, "Therefore take careful heed, O lover of God. As you perform this work, if you see a light or fire, outwardly or inwardly, or some supposed form of Christ, an angel, or anything else, do not accept it, lest you suffer harm." Finally, another danger of delusion is what Elder Joseph calls scientific warfare. When the devil sees that a struggling monk is running with great force and fervor, and that he has no guide, then the evil demon secretly follows close behind, plotting against him, concealing his snares. He drives the monk onward. The struggler, unaware that the enemy is beside him, runs on without discernment, fasting, keeping vigil, and praying, while the demon takes away his appetite for food entirely. He desires nothing. The demon also allows him to keep vigil with ease, so that the monk imagines he has already attained apatheia, freedom from the passions. Once the demon sees that he has reached the extreme, he abandons him, and the monk falls, for he has no wings to rise to the heights of Theoria, of divine vision, and to carry his body with him. So he slithers downward like a serpent. Just when he imagines that he has risen from earth to heaven, he suddenly finds himself, without even realizing it, and stripped of his weapons in the midst of the open sea. For the body that bears the weapons and wages the battle has been exhausted by excessive fasting and has collapsed. Then the bloodthirsty dragon, rejoicing and exulting, rushes upon those wretched monks, dragging with him countless other evil spirits, and they utterly overwhelm him unless he immediately seeks an experienced and genuine guide, one practiced in the active ascetic life. In this way, the devil has cast many strugglers into various shameful passions of sin, because the demons stir up this passion more than all the others when the body has been exhausted and collapses. Yet there is still another form of delusion that can befall the same struggler. Elder Joseph writes, "If he possesses a keen nose, the spiritual intellect and discernment, and struggles carefully so as not to fall forward, then the demon leaves him alone. But when he sees that the monk's fervor and great zeal are fading, the demon begins to pull him backward, seeking to cast him into indifference, so that he abandons everything and once again becomes a slave of the demons. For this reason," the elder concludes, "the struggle is twofold. The monk must either have a guide experienced in the same ascetic labor and practice perfect obedience, cutting off his own will completely. Or, if he is alone, he must guard himself against extremes and walk the middle way." In this teaching on avoiding delusion and its dangers, Elder Joseph follows the same straight path as the fathers before him. Saint Silouan the Athenite writes, "We fall into delusion when we think that we are wiser and more experienced than others, even than our spiritual father. In my inexperience, I too thought this way, and that is why I suffered. And now I believe that without confession to one's spiritual father, it is impossible to be freed from delusion." During these days, we honor just such a spiritual guide, Elder Joseph the Hesychast, and we embrace his words, words of wisdom and experience, worthy of the ancient ascetics and the great fathers, words of truth, not delusion. Elder Joseph lived in obedience and, by the grace of God, avoided the dangers of delusion. We too can avoid them by considering the outcome of his way of life through his writings and through all that we hear at this conference. May the prayers of Elder Joseph, pleasing to God, guide us all on the path of holiness and theosis divinization. Amen. We warmly thank His Eminence Metropolitan Panteleimon of Veria, Nausa, and Campania for his clear presentation. As we have understood, he explained that the causes of delusion are pride and disobedience, the envy of the demons, and of course the withdrawal of God's grace. With the elder's permission and nod of approval, we granted him 4 extra minutes, since he is a bishop, and the bishop is a teacher of the church. So, Your Eminence, we did not interrupt you, we listened to you with pleasure, and we thank you for the clarity of your word.